Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Welcome everyone to another episode of Leadership from the Heart. Today I have with us Jake Badassgard, just kidding, Jake Badassgard, the founder of Disrupted Advertising, one of the nation's most respected performance marketing agencies. After reaching his career goals, Jake embarked on a journey to master leadership and relationships, ultimately discovering that the transformative power of authenticity. In 2023, he launched Disruptive University, a groundbreaking program aimed to helping business owners, marketers, and individuals align their personal and professional lives with their true intentions. Jake, welcome to the show, and I'd love to dive into how you made authenticity the cornerstone of your leadership approach.
Let's do it. Where do you want to start?
So, I mean, let's start, I would say, from the beginning, but let's start from where you started to discover that authenticity was key.
Yeah. Well, I would say that's happened many times and continues to happen, which is the good news. But I would say the pivotal moment for me is, well, I'm going to give you a quick backstory and then I'll lead into that experience, which is, I think all of us are born into this world with it's enough to just be who we are.
Yes.
Right? Now, I realize this isn't the case for everyone, but for most people, as a baby, all we have to do is just be, and that's enough. Okay? And then we start to learn a little bit about what we're supposed to do to keep everybody happy around us as well. And so we start to kind of just like learn the boxes that when we check them, then we're supposed to be happy, get what we want, keep people happy, do those types of things. And for me, and I had, I grew up in a family of 10 kids. I was number six. And what I learned is that I'll be happy and successful when I grow up, go on a church mission, get a degree, get married, have children, have a successful career, make enough money, you know, just check, 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 check. Like, here is the mountain that life is about. Go check those boxes and then you're good to go. And I actually think this is like a good thing, by the way. I don't think this is a bad thing. And on that journey of checking all of those boxes, I learned a lot about myself. I learned things I'm good at, things I'm not good at. But the heaviness that I would carry with me a lot of the times is feeling like I was supposed to be who other people expected me to be, rather than being more of who I am.
Yeah.
And the more that I leaned into trying to be what I thought everyone else wanted me to be, that's when it started to feel heavier and heavier and heavier the older that I got and the further on this mountain climb that I was on. And to the degree where I'm like, hey, I checked all the boxes and I struggle to have positive self-talk. I'm always feeling kind of emotionally volatile. It's easy for me to point the finger and blame other people. And I found myself, you know, 50, 60 pounds heavier than I am now, emotionally volatile, feeling spiritually disconnected, struggling in my relationship and my marriage. But I'm like, what the hell? Like, I've built this awesome business. At the time, we had just crossed doing $10 million a year in annual revenue. And we both came from large families that didn't have a lot of means. And so we're already like, yeah, we thought this is like this would solve everything. And yet found ourselves in a situation where it's like, hey, this is kind of crappy enough that if something doesn't change, or this relationship probably isn't best for both of us type thing. And in my mind, you know, when you say, well, when did you come to learn what authenticity means for you? Happened while I was in the process of going through marriage counseling with my wife, in part because she had confronted me about some of my behaviors that she was not okay about. And so it was a little bit more like busted. I kind of need to like do this to show up and do the right thing. But hey, eventually she'll see that she's the problem and then we can move on with our lives, you know? And anyway, in one of those marriage counseling sessions, we had just finished reading the book Leadership and Self-Deception by the Arbinger Institute. And I won't go into the details of the book, but very transformational and a book that we have everyone read before their final interview at my companies. And I read that book and I thought, you know what? I might be 20% of the problem. Maybe I'm 20% of the problem.
Sure.
So we're in this meeting and he's asking me about life and I'm telling him how well the business is going, kind of through the air of like, see, I'm not the problem, or how would I be doing so well in business? And he said, well, how does your business partner feel about that? And I said, what do you mean? I don't have a business partner. And then he looked at my wife and he looked back at me and he said, oh, it's interesting that you see it that way. And I thought, well, she's not my business partner, dude. And that's where I realized what was, it was like a, honestly, it felt kind of like a ton of bricks hit me in that moment, because it wasn't the business partner thing that caught me off guard. It was that I became hyper aware that I did not see her as my partner and that it did not feel authentic to be in a relationship where I was showing up and treating someone as not my partner. And so I felt exposed. I felt naked. I felt, you know, I didn't hear anything else for the rest of that conversation. I'm like, man, I am just... But I realized that isn't what I wanted anymore. It's like, okay, maybe I'm not 20% of the problem. I think I'm 100% of the problem here. And so that was what kind of like set me on the path of exploring authenticity. And why is it that I'm hiding behind my business? Why is it that I want to blame everyone else for my problems? Why is it that I want to justify and minimize the things that I'm embarrassed about and struggling with in my life? And, you know, one of the things I don't share as often is I actually went and found a therapist to work with individually, because I'm like, okay, I got some work to do here. Right. And I spent like 3 to 6 months trying to convince this guy that at least I'm not as bad as everybody else.
That's interesting.
Like, isn't that so funny?
That's interesting.
You know? And so anyway, that was kind of like the pivot point in the relationship, professionally and personally and in my marriage. And that's kind of what just set me on the path of, well, I'm checking all these boxes and it's not getting me what I thought it was going to get me. So it might be time to re-explore what boxes I actually want to check moving forward.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so in that marriage, in that aha moment, you were able to see that perhaps you are hiding. And how do you differentiate this authenticity with like extreme ownership? Because I'm hearing like extreme ownership and like whatever's happening, there's a part of me that's involved in co-creating it. And authenticity, I'm trying to connect the dots. Is authenticity more about what do I want versus what do I think everybody wants for me?
Yeah. So what is this authenticity thing?
Right.
I think if we take a quick step back and then maybe we can apply it here, is I think everyone has a unique nature.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the analogies that I always like to reference, I think Einstein said it, but if a fish believes its whole life that it's supposed to be good at climbing trees like a monkey, it's going to think it's stupid, you know? And I think everyone, it is through uniqueness that life even exists. If everything was the same, there is no existence, there is no life. And so it is when we learn to love and embrace our uniqueness, like our thumbprint, like our iris, everything about us is unique. And when we embrace and love that, we start to shine our light of uniqueness and authenticity in this world, because you see the world in a way that no one else can see it.
For sure.
And as a result, you can serve the world in a way that no one else can serve it, you know? And authenticity is interesting, because until I learn to love and embrace my uniqueness, it is hard to love and embrace other people's uniqueness. And then it's a crusade of trying to get everyone else to be like me. And that's the root of all the social issues that we deal with, is assuming people are supposed to be more like us rather than realizing it is through our uniqueness and differences that we can actually create something better than we could individually if we were all the same.
Yeah.
And so when I think of authenticity, that's how I think about it.
Yeah. So how does one begin? So I'm you. I'm not in marriage counseling. And I hear this episode and I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. I would love to know who my authentic self is. Where should one begin?
Yeah. There are a couple of ways that I point to it. Because authenticity is kind of like salty or sweet. Until you taste and experience it for yourself, you don't really know.
Yeah.
Right? And so there's a couple of ways that I point people to their authenticity. But until you experience it for yourself, you won't really know.
Yeah.
And the first tool that I think anyone can use literally right now is ask yourself and answer these questions. Where in my life am I regularly experiencing frustration? Okay. What we've just done is brought something to your awareness. Because until you're aware of something, you can't do anything about it if it's not in your awareness. Okay. Yeah. And so let's say, well, use me as the example. I am regularly struggling in my marriage and it's just not feeling good. So the next step is honesty. And people do not like this question. It's why do you like struggling in your marriage? And I said, what are you talking about? Of course I don't like it. Well, then why do you keep doing it?
Sure.
And so the honesty question is, what is the payoff that you're getting by experiencing the thing that you keep experiencing over and over again? And so for me, in that moment, what I became honest with was, I'm struggling in my marriage. The story I'm telling myself is because she's the problem. When the honesty was, I'm making her the issue so that I don't have to take any action. I don't have to take any responsibility. That's why I like struggling in my marriage. But here's the beautiful thing about honesty is the second you see it, it's like, it's the truth, and the truth is what sets you free, right? 100%. And so it's like, okay, so the story I'm telling myself isn't actually leading to the outcomes I want. So now I've practiced awareness. Where am I struggling? B, what's the payoff that I'm actually getting from this? And is it getting me the results that, or experiences I'd like to have in this life? And then the third one is, okay, now that I've done that, it's responsibility. Where do I go from here? Mm-hmm. And so we call that AHR in my business, awareness, honesty, and responsibility. And that always points us back to the authentic path forward, is by just practicing that, whether that be in the moment, in a weekly reflection. In a relationship, connection. But that's like that's my go-to tool, awareness, honesty, and responsibility. Because I found it's the only thing that actually really works that well. Everything else feels like trying to validate myself or someone giving me the answers. But when you practice awareness, honesty, and responsibility, the only one that can give you those answers is yourself.
Yourself, right.
Yeah.
And so how does someone work through the fear of, if I am my authentic self, my wife may not choose to be with me anymore because now I'm different. Now I'm actually embracing who I actually am instead of who I've portrayed myself to be. And all these masks are going to start to come down, because that's death, right? That's a form of dying to self. So how does one navigate? Because I think that's why people stop, right? Because they receive love through all these masks that they wear for other people. So how do you, I don't want to say
Is it love that they're receiving?
It is perceived as love. It's truly energy, right? Or it's just an exchange, you know? So yeah, I don't want to say push through, because push through is not the right term. But how does one, I'd say, I guess, navigate through that uncomfortability of, you know, because you and I feel understand that the people that fall away are meant to fall away. And the people that stay have always been your audience, right? And that's okay. Yeah. But like a fish who thinks I'm a monkey, I've hung out with monkeys my whole life. How do I embrace being a fish now?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you an uncomfortable truth that I had to confront is, there is a risk to authenticity. What if I am authentic and I am rejected for it?
Okay.
That's a risk. I'm not going to pretend that it's not a risk, but let's talk about what's the risk if you don't. What if you're inauthentic your whole life and people like you for it?
Ooh.
What sounds riskier?
Yeah, no, that's heavy.
Yeah.
That's heavy.
It's heavy or the lightest thing you've ever heard.
Right.
Because here's what I realized. Multiple years after marriage counseling, and I would say we were in a much better place in our relationship, but I was still hiding a lot. And I'd made progress, and everything is layer by layer. Like, it doesn't all happen at once.
Of course.
And I was still struggling with a lot of the same things from a different vantage point. But what was interesting is, and I won't go into all the details, but there was a fairly major falling out amongst my family, my siblings and my parents, that was happening at the time. And I had a sibling that said, hey, if you pick this side, I can't have a relationship with you anymore. And I said, you know what? I'm not picking a side. I love you both. I feel like there's nothing we can't work through, but I can't control.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
What you decide to do, you know? And it was in that moment where I was confronted with the fear of, if I'm authentic, I literally will have a sibling that's not communicating with me anymore. And in the moment itself, because I was worried about this happening my whole life, okay? And then the moment that it actually happened, I felt surprisingly peaceful.
Right.
And after that phone call, what came to my awareness was there is still a lot of me that I keep hidden from my wife. And I'm not talking from the, I need to go air all of my dirty laundry and make it her problem. That is not what I'm talking about here. But things that were very clear in our relationship that she was aligned with and okay with, and things that she was not. And so some of those things I would keep hidden, right? Because I'm like, well, I still want her to stay. So I'll be a little selective in how much I show here. But after that call with my brother, I walked in. And I said, hey, here's what just happened. And I can see that I will go down this path unless I am more authentic and like open with you in our relationship. And here's some things that you just need to know. And I'm not saying it's your fault. I'm not asking you to fix it. But I need you to just see who I am and where I'm at. And you need to choose for yourself if that's someone that you want to be with or not, you know? And in one moment, being authentic in a relationship led to it ending, at least for the time being, you know. And in the same hour, it led to a connection and bond that has grown in my marriage ever since. Right. And you never know which relationships that's going to be. But I will tell you in that moment, what I realized is the only alternative is to keep putting on a facade and manipulating my wife to stay in this relationship. Once I saw that, it's actually not, when we do things to keep other people happy, we think we're being kind. What I realized, at least for me in that moment, is it was highly manipulative. Highly manipulative. I'm trying to keep other people happy. Rather than just being open, honest, and vulnerable and letting her or them choose for themselves. And when there is a choice to be in a relationship and it's based on openness and transparency and trust and those types of things, and it doesn't mean we're both perfect, we're both still pretty messy people. But that's where like I started to see through the facade of, I'm like, being inauthentic, the risk of being inauthentic to be liked is way riskier than the risk of being authentic and some people leave and some people stay.
Yeah. Yeah. And to add to that, the reason why it's so highly manipulative is because it's for your own personal gain, right? It is not for them. We pretend it's for them, but it's truthfully It's truthfully for us. And I want to honor you in that when you find courage in one situation, you will inevitably find courage in more situations. So the courage you had with your sibling led to you seeing maybe a blind side to be courageous also with your wife. And that's huge, right? And those gutsy moments are everything, you know? So how did you translate becoming authentic, becoming your authentic self in relationship to becoming the authentic boss and leader at work?
Well, speaking of which, there's plenty of people that do and don't like me.
Of course.
When it comes to that, because I understand that my style is not for everybody.
Yeah.
You know? And there's a few ways that we do that. The first one is, I really believe in if you can't be you and successful in the role, we are doing you and the company and the customer a disservice, right? And so a very practical way that we do that is we use Predictive Index and Working Genius to really understand someone's working style and where they are most productive in their working genius, right? And then we match that to the job itself and say, if this is counter to your style and the areas that give you energy, we would not be doing you a service to put you in this role, right? And so that's how we try to get that right in the onset of a professional relationship. The way that we do that with our customers is we don't work with people and brands we don't believe in. And what that means is we often say no to customers that want to work with us. This, and speaking on the agency side of things for disruptive advertising, is we work with people and brands that we believe in. That doesn't mean they need to be perfect, but we believe in brands that value their customers, value their employees, and value being healthy and profitable as a business. And if we can't see that at least they care at least somewhat about those three things and are open to that, it's really actually, and I'm not even trying to like stand on a pedestal with that, but it's like, it is really hard for a marketer to do great work for something they don't believe in because it feels like lying. So their creativity and ability to be an effective marketer is really low. And then secondarily, when a company is not what I would call authentic in how they serve their customer, their employee, and run a healthy business, it's hard to differentiate them and highlight their uniqueness when it's mostly about just making money.
Right.
And it's actually hard to market for businesses like that and be successful.
Yeah, I see that you talk about aligning your why with your organization's why, you know? And I feel, I don't know how big your company is, and I love what you said there. And then I quickly shift to like corporate America, where everyone's just getting a paycheck and may not align or have what they perceive to be the ability to say no because they need the paycheck, right? In those instances, one, I want to know, it's an obvious question, but I'm going to give you an alley-oop here. Why do you think it's important for your why to align with your organization's why? And vice versa.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I haven't implemented what we're talking about in a really large organization. We have about 120, 125 people at my business. And so that's the scale that we've done it, but we've worked with thousands of companies and some of the largest companies in the world from a marketing standpoint. And what you're describing is very real and very true. And what I've noticed is there's a tendency for me and for a lot of us to say, I will be authentic when they're authentic first. I only want to work for brands that already have it all figured out and are super authentic. And that's okay, I guess, to a degree.
Sure.
But what if you're the change maker?
Exactly.
The one that asks the hard questions. The one that helps someone or an organization rediscover its why and its uniqueness. And why it's here to serve the world. And talk about impact and legacy as a professional, as a leader, as a marketer, when you're like, I only work with brands that are already perfect. Well, A, they actually don't exist. What is perfect anyway? But being the person that actually aligns with that. To answer your follow-up question is, how do you align your why with your company why? That does matter. But I will tell you it changes dramatically in your 20s, your 30s, and your 40s. Because, like you're in discovery mode in your 20s. And honestly, it's about exploration, skill building, learning about yourself, And so I would say, like, don't overthink it. If you're in your 20s, like, just go for it. Just go for it. And you'll just figure so much out along the way. Just don't get stuck. Like, keep exploring, keep experimenting, doing those types of things. I think like the midlife professional crisis that happens in the 30s as much as it used to be in like the 50s, yeah. 40s and 50s for people. And I think it's because we're exposed to so much more content at an earlier age that used to take people decades more to be exposed to that level of information and experiences. But that's where things start to change, because when you start to understand your true strengths and weaknesses and how both are a gift to the world, what your values are as a human being, how you serve the world, and how you make money in a way that actually feels good to you. Y'all, when you start approaching, and I'm 40, by the way, it's like, it starts to feel so uncomfortable to work outside of that as right. you get older, that I would say, like, that's the transition that will happen. And trust yourself, you'll know when the time is there, because it will feel more and more uncomfortable to just be doing it for a paycheck, to just be doing it for whatever reason. It will feel more and more inauthentic.
Right.
And I feel like that's typically when a transition happens. We'll say 35 to 45, to where either you've started your own thing, you're in leadership opportunities, or you're even willing to take a step back, because that's how important it is to you to align yourself to a cause, to a business, with people that you believe in.
Right.
Not because they're perfect, but because you believe in directionally where they're going.
Right.
And that you can show up as yourself and contribute value on that journey.
And so for the professional that is in the 35 to 45 and cannot, and is comfortable where they're at, right? But doesn't necessarily agree with, because we don't always agree with what our employer does. How do they find the micro why? Every company has a mission, vision, statement. They may not align with the overall or the day-to-day, but could they find a micro as a leader? I always tell people, don't focus on the people upstairs. You're here for the people downstairs, right? Mm-hmm. So I teach them to find the micros. How would you help someone find a why within many whys of why a company operates?
Yeah. I can tell without you going into more detail that we think similarly about this, but usually the why has more to do with who.
Yes.
Than it does with the organization, especially in corporate America. But I look at some of the clients, some of the biggest brands that I've ever worked at or done consulting or been an agency for. I didn't feel passionate about their business. But the person I worked with, I knew their name, I knew about their family, I knew about what they were trying to achieve and experience in life. And to know that my efforts were helping them live their why, it's enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool when you've got both.
You're right.
You know, but I think that that's where you can do that. And especially as a leader or a manager, and for understanding what matters to the people on your team and helping them accomplish that personally and professionally,
right,
is very, very satisfying.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of the times we want to be, especially I'm a millennial as well, I'm approaching 40. And so we want to have impact and we want to, you know, have all these big audacious goals. And sometimes you lose sight, right? Because it can feel very overwhelming as to why, you know, the corporate doesn't see it your way. But if you can just focus in on what you can control, life feels so much better than the uncontrollables, for sure. Let's talk culture. I'm a big advocate for culture. That's kind of my thing as well. I see that you are a big advocate for positive cultures. And how did you establish your culture? And how do you continue to nurture it for growth and for prosperity?
You know, it's interesting. I often get questioned by employees or external people why we don't support social causes or really make like a big deal about things like that. And I said, because we celebrate our core values at mm-hmm. the business, and how you choose to apply that personally, I'm not trying to control or influence that. So defining our core values, like that's what we stand up for, right? And so one of those core values that I mentioned earlier, we call win-win-win. If we can't see how the employee, the customer, and the business win, we don't make that decision, right? because it's short-sighted. It won't provide lasting results. We believe in being proactive, right? And growth-minded, and a lot of these things that like that just matter to us as a business. And so getting really clear on our core values is important. In fact, a manager and an individual have a conversation once a month and say, hey, let's talk about how we're showing up with a win-win-win mindset, with how proactive that we're being, with an inside-out approach. Are you kind of pointing the finger, or are you focused on how you can show up differently in the situation? And we literally hire and fire and promote people based on it, like living those core values. And so that's like the first thing that we do to like create a culture where there's just expectations around those things that people can understand, and they may align to those or they may not, but we kind of like, that's our rock and that's our foundation, is our core values as a business. And then the second thing, and I'll tell you, is when I let go of, it is not my job or my company's job to make people happy. It is my job to create an environment of growth. And growth, a lot of the times, doesn't feel happy. Okay. And I care enough about my people that I want to create an environment for their growth. And some accept that and take advantage of it. Some don't. But to me, that's what matters. Have I created an environment of growth? And have we created clear core values that we can hold each other accountable to? Because I'm not better than anyone in my company. We're all horizontal in terms of like partners in life. Yes, I have different roles and responsibilities in the company. But yeah, I think core values, and it is not my job to keep you happy. That's your responsibility. It is my job to hold our culture from a value standpoint, and that it's an environment where you can grow.
And how do you see the people who take the most advantage of their growth? How do they make themselves happy? What are some of the things that they do?
Yeah, I think it depends how you define happy.
Sure.
And I would say satisfied, fulfilled, is look how far you've come, right? I think that there is no better question to ask as a manager. What is some growth you've experienced that you're proud of, right? And if you could do that, I wonder what's possible. What do you want? What gives you energy? What do you want to work on now?
Right.
Because so often we compare ourselves to an ideal. And when we compare ourselves to an ideal, we never live up to that ideal. And it leads us to inaction and being a victim versus, well, let's look how far we've come. What have we learned from the positive and negative experiences that we've had? And let's move forward. And the internal learning and development program that we put together was Disruptive University,
which was
helping people get clear on who they are, what their why is, what it means to be authentic, and how to have clarity and vision for themselves, their relationship, and their work, right? And then practical application for the job they actually do. And so that's how we create an environment of growth. But when you go through a training program that asks you to be aware, to be honest, and to take responsibility, the people that respond and take advantage of that, it's like, watch out. I see people going from entry-level marketing positions in my agency to growing exponentially internally or leaving for very influential roles in other businesses. The people that don't take advantage of that tend to get stuck and not go anywhere, and the relationship ends for different reasons, you know? But that's how we try to create that environment.
I like it. I like it a lot. And some people are satisfied with where they are, and are you good with that? Like if someone says, hey, I'm really happy here, I actually don't want to go anywhere. What is your response to that? Do you think there's a lack, or do you sort of reward that? Maybe not reward, but are okay with their comfortability?
Yeah. One experience that comes to mind is it is not uncommon as people have gone through Disruptive University at my business for them to realize they're not at the right company. And there was a time where I would try to, well, I guess we could just call it manipulate people to staying beyond it serving them. Okay. And now I celebrate that. I am so happy you have clarity on what it is that gives you energy and how you want to move forward in your career. How can we support you? You know?
Yeah. It's power.
And I would just say there's three zones. We ask questions on a scale of 1 to 10. How would you rate? And I'll ask these questions. When people say 1 through 6, they're in active pain. When they give me that generic answer in like the 6 to 8, usually 7, it means they're in their comfort zone. And when I say, on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you feel about your relationship? And they're like, 9. And you see a little sparkle in their eyes, right? I'm like, that's your authenticity zone, because it gives you energy to be there. It doesn't feel comfortable. It doesn't feel neutral. It actually gives you energy. It feeds you when you're in your authentic zone in these areas. When you're comfortable, and I'm going to just take some liberty, it's going to take more vision to get clear on what would be authentic in that area, or it's going to take more pain.
Very true.
And so that's where I look at it. And I would just say the self-assessment, awareness, honesty, and responsibility, when I look at this area of my life and I say, I'm comfortable, I'm content in this area of my life, notice the feeling that comes up. And if the feeling is apathy, I would say, do what you want to do, but either pain or a conscious choice to grow in this area are your only way out of this apathy that you're experiencing right now. And life, when not consciously chosen, tends to go into the pain range.
For sure.
And it's actually kind of cool that we're programmed that way, because eventually it points us back in the right direction. Yeah. And so that's where I would say, like, I don't think it's good or bad. I think it just is.
Mm-hmm.
And then the question I would ask is, if you're feeling comfortable there, well, what would great feel like, and what would give you energy?
What would great feel like?
Yeah.
I like that question.
And I think that's where we can consciously choose growth, expansion, and authenticity versus complacency or pain. Yep.
Disruptive University, is it just an internal? I feel like it's an external course or academy as well, right?
Yeah. It has been released to the world.
And so a company like mine, we can take it, go on your website, find it, take it. And what is it exactly? Can you give us a breakdown?
Yeah. There are 3 primary courses, and they are aimed at helping people get really clear on what it means to be authentic. Mm-hmm. Strengths and weaknesses, your values, how you serve the world, and how you make money. And getting clear on what that means for you, and vision for these different areas of your life of what would great feel like. Where are you at today, and where are you going to take action on that, right? We then walk people how to do that in their relationships. Hey, what are we excited to create and experience together in this relationship? How can we lean into each other's authenticity, strengths, and values, and these types of things? And then we teach people how to do this for business and understanding the company's purpose with the business why, its strengths and weaknesses, its values, how it serves the world, and how it makes money in a way that feels authentic as well. And so the program is primarily geared towards entrepreneurs, marketers, and just like business leaders that are like, okay, having that level of clarity for myself personally in my relationships and in my work and my business, like, yeah, let's go. And we've built some cool tech on the back end. So all people have to do is go through and answer the questions.
Right.
And then it builds a personal authenticity dashboard for them, a relationship dashboard, and a business dashboard for them.
Wow.
And so like it's been really fun to work on.
Is that like your
It's my baby.
I could see it in your face.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's really cool. I'm going to go check it out for sure. So what is your favorite leadership book that you've read?
Well, I mentioned I really think the most influential one was probably Leadership and Self-Deception. Because it was just at such a critical moment of my life when I needed that message. And then I think my favorite one will be the one that I'm releasing this year called Authenticity Wins. Yeah.
That's great. Can't wait to see that. Can't wait to see that. Favorite podcast right now?
Based on what I've listened to recently, I've been on The Diary of a CEO.
Everybody is.
Yeah.
He's good.
He's got my attention.
Yeah. He's good. Okay. And last question, what is your favorite new tech device? It could be software or hardware.
Well, the one I use the most often, even though it feels old to say this now, which is interesting, I just use ChatGPT all the time for so many things.
Yeah. That's everybody.
And so I'm like, that feels totally generic, but there we go.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they're, if you're not using AI or embracing AI, you're going to fall behind right now. You know, you've got to, I'm not saying you've got to, you know, make it your everyday partner, but I mean, if you're not tapping into that, that genius part of it, then you're missing out on a lot.
Yeah.
Jake, what are your final thoughts for the audience?
I'm going to end with the risk question that we said earlier. What's the risk if you have to be authentic and people leave as a result? And what's the risk if you're inauthentic and people stay? And because if not you, then who? And if not now, when? You already know what's been calling to you. And I think this is your chance to just go for it and stop putting it off.
Yeah. Yeah, guys. I mean, you're in this lifetime right now. Don't half-ass it, man. Find yourself, be yourself. It's worth it. You're worth it. At the end of it, you're just going to find more of yourself. And I resonate with everything you said today, Jake. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Romy.
I appreciate you. And that concludes our episode of Leadership from the Heart, guys. Continue to like, subscribe, and share. Definitely check out Disruptive Advertising, Disruptive University. I know I am. Jake, we're going to put all your links in the show notes. So guys, you can find Jake by clicking on the links in the show notes and be sure to check him out. I think what he's onto is something special. It's unique, it's his, and it's worth it. And with that, we conclude today's episode and I will see you guys next time.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.